Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello and welcome to Alive to Thrive. You are listening to music called High Life from Ghana, and that music was made popular at the beginning of the 20th century, and it uses traditional Akan music, which is the native music to Ghana, Africa, with jazzy horns and guitars. And I just wanted to give a little taste of it to our listening audience today, because today we're talking about all thing African, all thing Ghanaian. As my listeners and fans know, I'll be traveling to Ghana October 19th, and I'll be there for 3 weeks volunteering with Global Mamas, which is a wonderful organization promoting fair trade throughout Ghana and throughout the world. They actually now have these products made by the African women distributed to over 21 countries. They employ 600 women and some men, global papas, and they give the women a living wage, health insurance. It's a wonderful program, and it was started by two Peace Corps volunteers. I've been talking about it off and on here for the last couple of months, and recently, last weekend to be exact, I was at a picnic with the Ghanaian Society of St. Louis, and I want to just do a shout-out to Jane and all the wonderful people that I met there. Got to try some incredible African food, red and fufu and rice balls called omatuo. My guest today will help me pronounce some of these words. And, you know, just got to meet some people that have relocated to the United States from Ghana. And my guest today is an incredible young woman. Her name is Elizabeth Hammond, and she's a student at Maryville University here in St. Louis, Missouri. And she was, Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Were you born in Ghana?
Yes. I was born in Ghana.
You were born in Ghana. So I want to hear all about that and your years growing up. And what I just learned about Elizabeth today is that her student organization at Maryville University was recognized as Student Organization of the Year. So we'll be talking about that and about an event they have coming up next week that I'll be part of. But first, let's get to Elizabeth's personal story, because I'm always fascinated to hear personal stories of triumph and overcoming obstacles. And I think anyone moving to the United States from any country, let alone Africa, I mean, it is a big cultural adjustment. So Elizabeth, who or what planted the seed in your mind at whatever age to, you know, want to come to college here in the United States?
Well, I was actually an international exchange student when I was in high school. That was 2008, 2009 year. I was a student in Norfolk, Virginia. So I came here for 1 year. I loved it. It was awesome. It was great. And then I had to go back. And then I had the dream to study forensic nursing. And if you know enough about Ghana, you know we don't have forensic nurses in Ghana. So that dream would not be realized. It wouldn't work out back at home. So I had to come back. After a couple of years of chasing that dream, I came back to the U.S. To Maryville University to study forensics. So,
oh my goodness, I didn't know that. That is just very incredible. Well, let's talk about your first experiences in the U.S. when you came over to Richmond, Virginia. I used to live in Virginia, so I'm familiar with that area. So you were a high school student. So what were your early impressions between, you know, what you were told about what America was all about and what it actually was when you got here? What were your high points of when you got here?
I was a student in Norfolk, Virginia, in a school called Norfolk Collegiate School. One thing that was fun was I was a member of the hockey team, field hockey team. And the funny thing is, for half of the first semester, I couldn't tell who was who, because they all looked alike to me. All the girls looked the same. I couldn't tell the difference with the hair, the skin color, and that was the biggest thing to adjust to when I got to the U.S. the first time. And I remember the fucking time, I didn't know who was who, and the names were just different. So there was a lot of different things that I saw. Culturally, there's a lot of big culture shock. Oh, parking meters was a big shock. I was like, what is that? And it was my first time out of my country, so of course I was very, very surprised about that. So I had a bunch of cultural shocks. I taught people about my culture. I taught people about Ghana. It was a fun year, and my host mom was the best host parent ever. She was really good. She taught me a lot. She taught me how to be independent. She taught me so much. So it was a good year, actually. Everything I heard about Americans being friendly and everything, I heard it. And I saw it when I came here. People were very friendly. People were very curious to learn, unlike what you hear about people saying wrong things about Africans. I mean, there are those people, but there are just a few, about 5%. Most of the people I met would just say good stuff about Africa, and I will be there to correct them. So it was a very good year. Yeah.
That's fascinating to me. First, I have to chuckle about all girls look alike, because you hear that sort of cross-culturally when, you know, Americans go to another country, too. That's kind of funny. Tell me about the host family. How does someone, if a U.S. family here wanted to become a host family, do you know how they can go about it, or do you know any of the organizations?
There is an organization called Youth for Understanding, which is short form. If you search YFU, you will find a link to it. That was the organization I came in with. You go through a couple of process. I mean, they check you out and all that. And I think they give you a little amount of money every month, maybe for gas or something. I'm not really sure about all that stuff. But you can contact that organization. And if you check out, you're a good person. I think they're going to put you on, and you get to pick students, a bunch of students.
Did you say YSU, and it stands for Youth Student?
Youth for Understanding.
Oh, Youth for Understanding. Okay, thanks.
Yes,
I just wanted to make sure I got that correctly, because that's something I've always personally wanted to do, and I know a lot of people sometimes empty nesters, what we call empty nesters, you know, when their kids go away to school or college, they have extra bedrooms, or, you know, sometimes people just want to host international students. I have a friend here in St. Louis that does that, and she's got students from all over the world living with her. She's a single woman, and she's got three or four at any given time, and she gets to try new foods and people take turns cooking. And it's a great way to build bridges. And I'm all about building bridges between cultures. So important.
Right, right.
So what do you think people's biggest misunderstanding is about Africans? Or, you know, what did people most often ask you, you know, what's their biggest misunderstanding about someone from Africa or the culture?
The funniest I've heard since I've been in this country, it was like last semester in school, and a girl that was very curious and said, she's African. Oh my God, you're African. How do you call home? How do you talk to people? And that was so interesting to me that she didn't think we had phones back at home. And I mean, it was very surprising. That's the biggest so far. I was wondering how she would think that, but I would say mostly the media doesn't do justice to Africa. It's always people picking the bad stuff to talk about, and it's always the nasty stuff, and that's the problem. But Africa, Africa as a whole is a big country. It's a big continent actually, with
that's
different
true.
Countries, different ethnic groups, different cultures, and it's so diverse. Pick a country like Ghana is seriously diverse. That we're just so different, you know? But we are one people.
Yeah.
And the same way with different cultures, different traditions, different rules and different lifestyle. And people don't look at those richness, the richness that an African culture comes with, because we have a really rich culture. And people refuse to see that, and the media doesn't do us justice. They don't pick on those things. They just take the sad stuff, the terrible stuff, and then portray it and spend a lot of time talking about it. I personally don't like watching the news about Africa anymore. I just change the station whenever it's that, because, look, there might be something terrible happening, but then look in that same country and there's some seriously good thing going on. But I guess everyone is just interested in the horrible news. And that's what is happening right now. Everybody just gets the bad news. But one thing I would like to say is we are all different. We have rich culture. And we have rich traditions that we want to share. It's burning in us. It's something that we want to share. We want people to know about. But if anyone is willing and any media is actually willing to just focus on that, the whole world will see us differently, because it's a real rich culture that we have. And
I think that's so true. And that is something that I'm very, very motivated by, because I noticed that too. I noticed friends of mine, when I told them I was going to Ghana, you know, I think there is a perception that certain countries within the continent of Africa, you know, it's that it's all extreme poverty, or that it's only HIV, or that, you know, people have even confusion around, you know, Ebola. You know, why are you going? You're going to get Ebola. It's like, it's not even in Ghana. It's not even in any country near Ghana. You know, there's diseases here in the United States you can get at your local, you know, grocery store. There's diseases all over the grocery cart. You know, but I, you know, I tell people, in fact, I told someone this just a few weeks ago when she said, aren't you scared, this, that, the other thing. I said, you know, I survived a car crash in Washington, D.C., so I can get killed any day of the week on my own roads 1 mile from my house. So I think, you know, quite frankly, I'll probably be safer in Africa. You know, so it's just, unfortunately, the media images, and you only hear the sad stories coming out of Africa. You hear the Nigerian kidnapping of the girls. And so things like Global Mamas and things like cultural exchange students and things like cultural expos that you're organizing are so positive. Yeah. People need to know that there are so many things, like you say, your traditions, your culture, and the kindness of the people. I hear, you know, I just felt that last weekend when I was at the Ghanaian Society picnic. Mm-hmm. People didn't even know me, and they were so kind and welcoming. Yeah. And, you know, there was all this wonderful food that was shared at no cost, and they invited me to come up and speak at the microphone. And, you know, I said to a friend of mine, I said, gee, you know, there's groups I've been belonged to for years that I've helped build up organizations, and they didn't even give me the courtesy that I felt I got,
yeah.
You know, from one afternoon with the Ghanaians at that picnic. And so, you know, I think it is an amazing culture. And just within Ghana, a very small country has so many regional dialects and regional ceremonies and rich and
yes.
customs and things. And that's, you know, I'm just beginning to dig deep into that. So tell us, what part of Ghana, east, west, south, whatever, where did you exactly grow up? And tell us what that was like.
Okay. I was born in the western part of Ghana, in the western region, Takoradi. And I lived there until I was 8. And then my dad got a job transfer to the capital, which is Accra. And I've been living mm-hmm. there ever since. So it was amazing. I miss Takoradi every single time. It's a wonderful place. It's growing. It's changing because the oil was recently discovered in that part of Ghana. And so all of a sudden, there's more business. There's more people. It's growing as well. So it was an interesting childhood for me. And whenever I go back to Takoradi, I look at it and I'm like, oh, it's changed. You know, I grew up in the big family. I had, I come from a family of 7 kids
mm-hmm.
with me, just 7 kids. So it's a big family, and I have more brothers than I have. I only have one sister. So as usual, the
uh-huh.
boys always toss you around
uh-huh.
and cheat you and stuff like that. But
yeah.
it was a good childhood. Yeah, it was a good childhood.
Yeah.
I went to
most of your family still there?
Yes. Yes, please. All my family is still back at home, yeah.
And so how did you, like, get this dream about forensic nursing? That is just fascinating to me because I do have friends that are police officers that have worked in forensics and things. But so how did you, like, hear about that field of study?
When I was an exchange student, my host mother was a doctor.
Okay.
She's a neurologist. And
okay.
I happened to visit her a lot at a hospital. I saw nurses. But then again, I also had a burning desire to help domestic violence. I had a burning desire to help fight rape and all that. And that's what forensic nurses do. They pick on they are the people in the hospital that respond to sexual assault victims and rape victims when they are brought into the hospital. They collect the evidence.
Okay.
So they're the first people a rape victim talks to. They're the people that try to get the information. What do you remember? You know, calm them down and everything. And I thought it was a very fulfilling job, you know. So I looked into it. I saw the process. But the year came and I had to go back home. And unfortunately, you can't do forensic nursing back at home. So I had to come back here. And so I came.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have ended. I said, so I came to Maryville to do forensics.
So Maryville, you just like Googled or on the internet to find out that Maryville was a good school for this?
Yes, actually. I just put into Google. I looked for a school for international students. Most schools don't. There are some schools that do not accept international students, or they request the international student to take a bunch of exams, like the TOEFL. And I come from Ghana. Ghana is an English-speaking country. It's our formal language, and so I don't see why I should be made to write an English proficiency exam when I've been studying English my whole life. So I looked for a school that was lenient on Ghanaians and English-speaking countries. So I looked and I found Maryville. And the good thing was it has nursing and forensics in the same school. So
mm.
it was a good choice, and it was a winner for me when I was looking for a school. And it's a very small school, and that's one thing I like, so I know people, and people actually know who I am, because I don't know what I would do if I went to a big school and you had to walk from place to place. Being an international student, not having a car, a difficult thing, and Maryville seemed like the best place to go when I looked at everything. So,
being in St. Louis, the city known as the Gateway to the West, and a city that has now celebrating 250 years of history, this year's STL 250 celebration, I assume you've been to the Arch and to the courthouse. What do you like best about St. Louis?
I would say gooey butter cake.
Gooey butter cake.
Yes, it's my all-time favorite thing. And sweetie pies. I'm sorry I'm going with the food, but food is like my main thing. I love food. I'm sorry, but food means a lot to me. And being far away from home, it's you have to find good food to eat or else you miss home extra because food is a necessity. Yeah, so for me, it's sweetie pies and gooey butter cake. And you know one thing, St. Louis is called the Gateway to the West. Ghana is also the gateway to West Africa.
Well, let's talk about that. Go ahead.
And guess the we have an arch as well in Ghana. It's called the Independence Arch. And it looks similar to the it looks similar to the one here, but it's just not as tall and you can go into it. So that's the only difference that we have an seriously.
Wow. Now is that in Accra?
Yes, it's in Accra. Mhm.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so for listeners that don't know, oh my gosh, I'm so excited now. So for listeners that don't know, I want to just share some history because I was reading up on some of the history of Ghana. It was the first country on the African continent to have independence and, you know, push back the British. It actually, the history, and we'll talk a little bit about this too that you know of, but a lot of people occupied Ghana. The Portuguese were there, and they were there arriving in the 15th century, and the Dutch were there, and European traders were there, and it was known as the Gold Coast. And, you know, that's how I had first heard about it. My sister had lived there actually in the 1960s. In the, I guess, late 60s, early 70s, her husband worked for Firestone, and they were sent there, and she was a young mother with raising children and living in Ghana. And so she would come back. I grew up in New England, north of Boston, and she would bring these beautiful batik fabrics and the handmade necklaces made with the glass beads and the wood carvings and some beautiful artifacts from the culture. And my mother had a section of our living room called our African corner, and we had pictures, and all this different art. So I think at a very young age it was planted in me to, you know, my curiosity was sparked because we had nothing like this in New Hampshire, where I grew up. It was very, shall we say, non-cultural. You know, it was white, it was French, and it was Catholic, and there was nothing very much else. I mean, no other ethnic groups. Well, we had Greek ethnic, and we had maybe Italian, I don't know. But anyway, so the history of Ghana is incredibly rich. The Dutch occupied Ghana for 274 years, and the British established their headquarters at the Cape Coast Castle, which I was fascinated to hear that because Global Mamas has an office at Cape Coast. What do you know about the history, or when you were growing up and you were taught the history of your country, what were some important points in the history of Ghana?
That we fought for our independence earlier than anyone else, that we actually took charge of our country. And that's the biggest for all of us. I mean, we all go back to that important part of history, where Ghana, being the first country, one of the first countries to be liberated in Africa, we all go back on that. And the person that led the independence, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, very big part of our culture and very big part of our history. And we always are very grateful for that. And That's the main part of our culture. And Ghana is called the gateway to Africa because of what you said, you know, the way, the entrance for all these other countries, Portuguese, the British, that's how they entered Africa. That was one of their way into Africa and their way out of Africa. Because, you know, Ghana is right at the, on the Gulf of Guinea, so it's on the coast. So that was their way in. And it's a very terrible part of history where we have a different country coming in and imposing their own different attributes and culture on you and making you see things, making you do things the way they want things to be done. It was a terrible thing, but the thing is, we moved past it, and it's now become a part of us. If the British never colonized Ghana, I'll probably not be in this country, and I probably would have to take the TOEFL because English wouldn't be my first language. So the thing about Ghanaians is, like you said, you met a couple of them. Ghanaians are very welcoming. We're very hospitable, and we're very forgiving. So, I mean, dwelling on the past, it doesn't do anything for you, and that's one of the big thing about the Ghanaian culture. We never dwell on the past. We move past it. We take the good of it, and then we hold on to that good, but we try very hard to push out all the bad. I mean, we can't dwell on slave trade, and there's a big debate about the consequences of slave trade and all that and how the British robbed Africa of its, you know, manpower and everything, and yeah, we still move past it. Ghanaians are very forgiving.
That's amazing.
And
Those are lessons for all of us on so many different levels, and it's one of my themes of my show, Alive to Thrive, is, you know, finding forgiveness either in your own personal life to serious wrongs that have been done on you. I, of course, had to forgive someone that killed my mother through a car crash. But also cultural forgiveness. And, you know, in this time of strife, we've had some racial struggles here in St. Louis. But to move to a place of, you know, I never hear people talk about forgiveness. After 9/11, I was living in Colorado. Everyone was talking about, you know, let's blow them up. Who are the them? I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's blow them up. Let's find someone else to kill. And it's like you cannot fight hate with hate, and you cannot fight violence with violence. And, you know, this lesson of forgiveness and not dwelling in the past and moving past it and holding on to the good, I loved what you just said. I mean, that is powerful. And for a whole culture to feel that at a very core level, I mean, I'm just very impressed with that. I think these are lessons that can be shared and things that can be taught. So the capital, I understand, used to be in Cape Coast, and it was moved to Accra in, like, the 1870s. Tell us a little bit about Cape Coast. I know there's the White Castle there that has renewed interest. A lot of African Americans are traveling there. I've seen video on YouTube. President Obama has been there, and CNN reporter Anderson Cooper. There's some wonderful videos there. Tell us about Cape Coast.
So, basically, Cape Coast is where it all started with slave trade and the whole transatlantic slave trade and stuff. That's the main point of it. That was where because it's at the coast level. And Accra is also on the coast, and the Brits had their castle over there as well. But Cape Coast was the main part to go. The fancy people are the most educated people in Ghana, and it's because the British left there, and that was their main trading point. It was the capital because it was more developed when the Brits were there, because, I mean, if you live there, you're going to make it look nicer, right? And that's why it was the capital. But later on, it shifted to Accra, and everybody started moving into Accra, and it became the bigger city. Cape Coast is a very nice place. It's on the coast, so obviously wonderful beach, nice hotels. Because of the history over there, there's about two castles in Cape Coast, two or three. I'm not really sure about it, but I can give you two names: the Cape Coast Castle and the Elmina Castle. It's all in the central region, which is where Cape Coast is, And because of the rich history of the castle, a lot of hotels, nice things are there just because of tourism, and people are going in there to see it. It's where they began for slave trade. So it's understandable that most Americans will go and have a look at how things happened years and years ago. And, you know, one good thing is that the castles have been kept the same from the way it was. No cleaning, nothing. It's the same, basically. Like, they've not tried to touch it up. They've not, nothing. It's the same as the Brits left it. When slave trade was abolished and they stopped dealing in slaves, it's the same. So you go in there, you see marks, you see people's writing and counting of days, you see it's a whole different thing. It's very emotional, I will say. So that's the thing about Cape Coast. Yeah.
Yes, and one of the things I learned from watching some of those YouTube videos about Cape Coast and White Castle was that, you know, how small the rooms were, how people were held for several weeks and months and no sanitation.
Yeah.
And if people resisted, there was a room where they were placed and the claw marks on the floor and teeth marks
yeah.
are still visible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important for every culture to see that. Just like I worked in Washington, D.C. at the Holocaust Museum. I wasn't Jewish, but I needed to understand what happened during the Holocaust. And
yeah.
I need to understand what happened in Cape Coast. And I think, you know, we are all one people. We're all on this planet. We're all have a shared destiny. What happens to
mm-hmm.
one of us happens to all of us. I don't know if that was a Gandhi quote or Maya Angelou talked a lot, too, about how we're more alike than different. And I think it's so true. So I think it's important for people to look at this past, learn the lessons, and to make sure things never happen again that you know, abuse people in any way. And so, but it's a very beautiful area. It's a port city. There's a lot of fishing there. And then Accra, I was so surprised to find out 5 million people, and the whole country has 20 million people. So this is a huge metropolis and lots of industry, lots of business. And the President Obama, I guess at the beginning of August, had a U.S. business summit talking about the importance of investing in Africa and in Ghana, and more U.S. companies are going to be investing in Africa and helping to build up the infrastructure. Did you watch any of the videos from that summit from Washington, D.C.?
I was at work during the talk and the summit, but I caught a little bit on the news, just what you just said, about moving in there and, you know, developing it. And I think it's a big thing, and I think the U.S. should take this advantage and help build something, you know. It's Africa and Ghana, I would say, is growing. We're growing. We have the rich minerals. We have the stuff. And, you know, we just need help in building up these things. And I think that's what President Obama was talking about when he said we should move in there and, you know, help develop these places. We need it, you know. And I will be very naive to say Africa doesn't need the help of anyone else. We do. So
yeah.
I really liked that summit, and I thought it was very fruitful. But
very good.
The summit is over, so I hope they really move through with it and follow through, you know. That's all it takes. They should follow through with it. So we're waiting to see. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We have to take a minute here to take a station identification and have a little commercial. So we'll be right back. We're talking with Elizabeth Hammond. She's from Ghana. She's a student here in St. Louis at Maryville University. And we're going to come back after break, and we're going to talk about the Africa Culture and Expo event coming up on September 9th. At Maryville University. It's a free event. There's going to be wonderful things happening there. I will be there myself with a table of products made in Ghana by Global Mamas. So stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
Have you heard of Modere yet? Modere is a new online retail brand for today's modern shopper. We bring stylish, safe, exclusive products for everyday living. At Modere, things are different. We hold ourselves to a higher standard of being modern, accessible, and ahead of the curve. Modere offers ultra-premium products such as hair care, skin care, and household essentials at crazy affordable prices. Most importantly, Modere's products are safe and non-toxic. In fact, Modere makes some of the safest and most effective clean label products on the market today. With free shipping on most orders, a 30-day money-back guarantee on all products, and huge discounts for repeat customers, trying Modere truly is a win-win. Go to Modere.com right now. That's M-O-D-E-R-E.com. Again, that's M-O-D-E-R-E.com. And use the promo code THRIVE for savings up to $25 off your first order. Again, it's M-O-D-E-R-E.com, and use the promo code THRIVE. You'll love the free shipping and the big savings off all the products you desire for a modern life. Modere, we are stylish, safe, smart. Are you tired of the abuse? Trying to recover after rape or other sexual violence? Are you worried about a friend or a family member? Safe Connections is here for you in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We work to reduce the impact and incidence of domestic violence and sexual assault, access referrals, resources, and most of all, compassionate support through our 24-hour crisis helpline. No cost. Call us anytime at 314-531-2003. That's 314-531-2003.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM Radio. And now, back to the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. We're talking about Ghana today, and my guest, Elizabeth Hammond, is a student at Maryville University. We're going to be talking in a minute about an event she has coming up on African culture. It's an expo taking place. But I do want to encourage everyone, as you've been listening in the last few weeks and months, I am planning to go to Ghana. I leave St. Louis October 19th. It's a one-day flight. I fly like Chicago, London, Accra, and I will be there for 3 weeks volunteering with Global Mamas, a fair trade program that's was started by actually two Peace Corps volunteers who started this about 10 years ago. They saw that the women in Ghana that made the beautiful batik fabrics and sewed clothing by hand and the world-famous Krobo beads, the beads from Krobo, hand-painted from recycled glass, that these products needed to be traded internationally. And anyway, I will be going there as a jewelry designer. I'm very excited. I will be in the Krobo district for a couple of weeks working with the women, designing necklaces and jewelry. And if you want to support my trip, I really would appreciate donations of any size. I mean, $10, anything is fine. I've been raising all my money this year to go. This is a lifelong dream. You can go to www.gofundme, that's gofundme.com/7DLikeDog6NLikeNancyXK. So that's gofundme.com/7DLikeDream6NLikeNancyXK. And you'll see my GoFundMe page. And I encourage you to start your own GoFundMe campaign. There's so many different crowdfunding sites, but find a dream on your bucket list. Don't waste another day putting off your dream that you could do today. Start planning for your future. And I want to welcome back Elizabeth Hammond, who is living her dream. She came from Ghana She's studying forensic nursing at Maryville University, and she's in a student organization that is putting on an African cultural expo. So welcome back, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Brenda.
Tell us about the event, and did you create this? Is this a brand new event that you created?
Yes. I'm the president of the African Students Organization here at Maryville, and all our events are cultural events. So events talking about Africa and different events. Last semester we had an event called Taste of Africa, where we brought food from all over Africa. So food from Nigeria, food from Sudan, food from South Africa, everywhere, Namibia. We brought food from all over. And it was a big event. And I would say it was the most successful event on this campus. And that's how come we won that award. We won an award for being
when exactly was that held? When did you?
In February. Yeah.
That's right around the time that I started applying to go to Global Mamas. I'm so sorry I missed that event. So it was snowing outside?
Yeah, it didn't snow that day. It was cold, but it hadn't snowed that day. So that was the good thing for us. It was a Friday night. And we do it every year. We do this event.
Oh, good.
The Taste of Africa every year.
So when will it be?
Next spring. Next spring semester will be our next event in February. It will be the third time we've had this event.
Third time. And do you have the date for 2015?
We don't have it yet. No, not yet.
Okay.
But we always say in February, so I will keep you updated on it.
Okay. Well, we want to be at that. So the food of most of Africa is very spicy for most American palates, although probably people that like Mexican food or Spanish food or just spicy food will love the food. I'm getting used to it. I love red, a tomato sauce with a lot of spices and put over rice or fried plantain. Tell us what is your favorite African dish.
My favorite Ghanaian meal is fufu and goat meat light soup. That's the best thing ever.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
People who don't know, and I haven't tried fufu yet, fufu is kind of sticky, right? And you eat it with your hands?
Mm-hmm.
And it's what is it made out of?
It's made out of cassava, which is a root tuber, peeled, boiled, and pounded. That's the fufu. And then the soup is up to you. So you design your own soup. But the fufu is always made the same way. It's peeled cassava, which is a root tuber, boiled, and pounded.
And so it has a consistency. What would we compare it to? It has a consistency of what, mashed potatoes or stickier like cheese?
It's stickier like cheese that looks, like mashed potato, but finer. And much more stickier and much more together. You know, mashed potatoes, it flakes sometimes, but fufu doesn't flake because it's starch that has been pounded.
Starch.
Yes.
It's been pounded.
So it doesn't flake,
And
so
the soup I have tried that I love is the ground nut soup, and I had it with chicken. A friend of mine tried making, there's a recipe book that Global Mamas puts out, of the food of Ghana, and you can try making some of the recipes. My friend had never made African food before. A shout-out to Chris Sweeney. And she made four or five dishes, and I love the groundnut soup. A lot of peanuts are in Ghanaian food, right?
Yeah. The peanut soup is mostly eaten with omoto. You said that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
It was a very funny pronunciation, but it's
omoto. Oh, sorry. Omoto. So you say it almost like it's one word. Omoto. Okay.
Yes,
omoto.
It's one word. Yeah. Omoto.
One word.
And it's eaten with the groundnut soup. And the groundnut soup, most people like it. Most Americans like it. Every time I make it, I have people eating it. So it's quite,
yes.
It's because most Americans like peanuts or peanut butter.
Yeah.
So that's
we're
why.
Familiar with that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're very familiar
and,
with it, so it's easier for them to eat, yeah.
And so will there be African food at your expo on, let's talk about the expo. It's Tuesday, September 9th at
yes.
6:30. It's a free event. Anyone can
mm-hmm.
attend. And if you're not in St. Louis, you might want to be inspired to host an African cultural event in your town, at your college
yes.
campus, or, you know, host something in your town. It doesn't matter where you live. If you can't come to
mm-hmm.
this one, we can connect you with Elizabeth. She'll give you some tips
mm-hmm.
on how to do this. So tell us the kind of
yeah.
foods that will be available.
We are bringing in puff puffs. We are bringing in meat pies. We are bringing in samosas. We are bringing in meatballs. And we're just bringing in a few finger foods. This is not a heavy meal event. So it's
mm-hmm.
just some little refreshments. And we'll have some African drink as well. It's called Zobo. Sobolo. For Ghanaians and Zobo for Nigerians. It's bisap. It's made out of bisap, which is a hibiscus leaves. And that's what is used to make that drink. And
that's good. So
that's
is it like
kind of
a is that drink kind of like an iced tea? It's like a water.
Yes.
Water
it's
infused
a water,
with hibiscus.
Yes. But you boil it together so that you get all the color and all the juices, I would say, from the hibiscus leaves into the water. Yes.
So it's kind of like an infused tea of sorts. Okay.
Yes.
And music. Tell us about the music that will be there.
Well, we're bringing in a dance group, an African dance group called Creative Pandemonium. They are based in St. Louis. They are award-winning. They are on tour right now, but they are deciding to take some time off and come to do this event for me because the drummer and leader of the group is a Ghanaian. His name is Widi Brimer, and so they are coming in to perform for us. They do djembe soul. They do a lot of so. If you see the African drums, they drum with African drums, and they've also infused it with jazz. So it's going to be African infused with jazz. So
I love it.
Will
oh
be
my
very
goodness!
Interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
Will be very
now,
yes.
Do they perform when they're in St. Louis? Do they ever perform at the Coca?
I don't know very much about their other performances.
Okay.
Because I recently discovered this group last year, so
okay.
I don't know very much about their performances. They performed once in our school, and it was a big thing. People showed. People liked it, and they got me to dance, so it was a very interesting thing for people to see me move around.
I do. I want to give out their Facebook page because they are on Facebook, and it's Creative with a K, so K-R-E-A-T-I-V-E. Pandemonium, P-A-N-D-E-M-O-N-I-U-M, Creative Pandemonium, and they have a website there, creativepandemonium.com. So check it out. I'm sure you can. They do have videos posted on YouTube where you can look at some of their music. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool. And so there'll be some dance music and drums and tables and student organizations. What kinds of groups will be participating?
Well, we've invited as many groups on campus as possible. We are doing a lot of advertisements here on campus, talking to students to come. We've also spoken to students from other schools around us. We have all of our Facebook and the International Students Group on Facebook, and we hope people are seeing and people are going to show because it's a big event. It's costing our student organization a lot of money, and we're making it free for everyone to be able to experience this richness that is the African cultural dance. And the good thing about African cultural dance is when you're doing a cultural dance, it's always it's a storytelling thing with dance and music. So I think it will be very interesting to share this part of the African culture. So I hope people would show up because this is big for us, And I know that we are doing a lot with advertisement. You're helping us. Thank you very much. And we are still on it. So we have different organizations showing up. Yeah.
So anyway, it's a free event. It's at 6:30 on Tuesday. And Maryville University is conveniently located off of Highway 40 West. If you're coming from St. Louis, you take 40 West. If you're coming from the West, you take 40 East. And so Maryville University, beautiful campus. I was there a few months ago. There was a piano concert with two women. They were sisters, and they were playing piano phenomenally. They were from Ghana, and their mother had flown over from Ghana to hear their concert. So they were very talented and incredibly gifted performing there in the chapel. Beautiful campus. There's some new buildings going up, but this event will be in the auditorium. So this is the big event this fall, and then as Elizabeth was talking about, the Taste of Africa event will be in February 2015. Huge event with food featured from all over various African countries. It's a very diverse continent. Probably most Americans know little about. I mean, there has been a lot of Peace Corps volunteers that have gone to different parts of Africa. My niece actually was a Peace Corps volunteer in Namibia. I will be having on my show coming up in the next few weeks Anna Emuge from Uganda, from the other side of the African continent, because I helped start an orphanage there called Atai, A-T-A-I, Orphanage, Village of the Heart, and Anna has a book that just got published. It was a year or two in the making, and it's her journey, and it's the subtitle is An Immigrant's Journey Home, and, you know, we'll definitely be connecting. Anna, actually, I should tell her about your expo because she probably would like to have a table there to have information about. Her website is Atai, A-T-A-I, orphanage.org. A Thai orphanage, and I've known Anna for about 7 or 8 years and helped her build her nonprofit from scratch with getting board members and funding, and now through Rotary International, Anna is a member and has gotten a lot of funding through Rotary, and it's just phenomenal. There's so many international civic organizations like Rotary. I'm a member of something called Zonta, Z-O-N-T-A, Zonta International. And I'm blessed that Zonta has three clubs in Accra that I've connected to several. I've connected to about 8 or 9 members, Zonta members, who live in Accra. Saw them in the end of June at the International Zonta International Convention in Florida. And you know, I am so thrilled that I will be able to see my Zonta sisters and stay with some of them. Zonta will be coming up on its 100th anniversary, and it's the oldest organization for women, professional women, and it has a seat at the UN and does a lot with ending violence against women. We were talking about that is one of Elizabeth's passion is to go into forensic nursing. That is something also, Elizabeth, will help connect you with. I'm not sure if you've heard of an organization called Safe Connections. It was mentioned on the break, the PSA, safeconnections.org. They have a wonderful organization here in St. Louis. They do a lot of education, free counseling for women that have gone through domestic violence and sexual abuse. And they have a major event coming up November 12th. Would love to invite you and your friends from Maryville to attend that. There's actually no charge to attend it. It's at a formal hotel in Clayton. And there's always an amazing speaker. And they get about 400 people come to this event. It's their one of their major fundraisers for the year. And one of my dearest friends, Patrice Billings, is on their board of directors and actually recorded that PSA for us to play on the air. And you know, Safe Connections is working with young women in high school and young men to educate young men what is appropriate and inappropriate behavior, that pushing and shoving your girlfriend is not acceptable, and mm-hmm. violence in any form is not acceptable towards women. So, Elizabeth, what are some of the books and authors that inspire you? Who have you discovered here in the United States, authors or speakers or people that have inspired you, or just leading, you know, people that are in politics or other things? Who inspired you?
Well, I don't know much. I don't read a lot of books, but I will say I've met a couple of nurses that have really made my choice in this field a good one. One of them is Ama Buduangwa. She's a student. She's a nurse in St. Louis, and she's one of the people that have helped me so much to stick with this dream of mine. So it's mostly the people I've met. I cannot say much about any famous person or anything, yeah, for now.
Awesome. So what are you doing after graduation? Are you going back to Africa? Are you going to stay in the United States? What are your plans?
Well, I plan on finishing all my schooling and then going back home. So do my master's and then go back home and look for a job, yeah. But I also wanted to put, I wanted to say something about the expo on Tuesday. We're going to have a little fashion show of African clothes.
That
shows different, yeah, the different kinds of fabrics and the different kinds of woven. If you know much about Ghana, you know about the kente cloth and
yes.
some of the woven. We have a lot of woven, hand woven stuff. So we'll have stuff over there on display, and those things can be bought. You talked about carvings. I bought a bunch of carvings. Yeah, we have different things that will be displaying at the expo. So
awesome.
I encourage everyone listening to try and make their way to Maryville University next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. It's going to be a big event, and we need your help to make it happen. We need your help to make it a big event and make it a success. Taste of Africa was big, and we're very proud of ourselves for putting it up, and we are very happy that everyone that showed up for that event was very educated and liked the food. They learned something about the African culture, and that's our main goal here in this school, is to put up a little bit of Africa in everybody in this school. I say that every time, and I wouldn't leave a place without saying something about Africa. I can say I'm the proudest African person ever. I'm very proud of my African heritage and culture, and I think impacting it and talking to people about it and showing it to other people, it's the best way to get people to actually see, wow, they are all not diseased, they are all not poor, they are all not living on trees and all the horrible that people see. So I encourage everyone to come for this event and help us spread the African culture through dance and storytelling and a little bit of the artwork that we'll have out on Tuesday.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, very good. And do you have a website or a Facebook page to tell people about?
Yes, we do. It's the African Student Organization at Maryville University on Facebook.
I'm sorry, say that again.
African Student Organization at Maryville
okay.
University.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
African Students Organization - Maryville University. They have a group page, and on that group page is some information, including a link to this show. You can share this link. This show is able to be heard beyond today. It is automatically archived. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Elizabeth, for all your great work. You're an inspiration to many, and we'll see you Tuesday night.
Thank you so much, Brenda, for this platform to talk to people about this event. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thanks. We're going to end with some music called High Life from Ghana.
Kobe Kenzo, Kobe Kenzo, Tenchema Kichu.